Abundant life. The word abundant and abundance and abound is used in many places in the Bible. We're going to start with John 10:10 in the gospel. John 10:10. John chapter 10 is the story of the Good Shepherd and Jesus and what he's done in our life. And Jesus wants us to be happy. Jesus wants us to have an abundant life. But many times we take that abundancy and abounding, and sometimes we try and make it mean things that it's not supposed to mean. In John 10:10, the thief come not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just ask, we open up the Holy Scriptures, that you'll guide and direct and strengthen us. Excuse me. And let us see what great things you have for us and for his people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you look at this context here, if you look up in verse 7, where Jesus, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came in before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Down in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. This portion of scripture right here in John 10:10 is referring to an abundant life. It is referring to an abundant spiritual life. This is not necessarily referring to things and having stuff and different things like that. It's talking about having a life full of joy. It's talking about having a life that is full of God. It's talking about having a satisfied life. A life without Jesus can never be full. No matter how many things you have, no matter however many things has been given to you, no matter what you have, a life without Jesus cannot be an abundant, full life. Many of us know people that have more monetarily things than we do, or lots of monetarily things, but they do not have a joyful life. They do not have an abundant life. They have a vacuum in their life. They have an empty spot in their life. They are not satisfied in this life, and they can never be satisfied in this life without Jesus. And Jesus came to this world for a reason. He came because he loves us. He came to give us life. He came to give us everlasting life. But he came to give us an everlasting, abundant, full life with God. And that's what Jesus wants you to have. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8 talks about another abundancy and abounding. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. See, the word is used twice in that verse. Now, the first word of verse 8 is and. So we go up to verse 7, the previous verse. It says, every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So we're going to go down to verse 8 and we're going to assume that this abundancy is referring to money. Well, let's go up into verse 7 and qualify this verse a little more. Every man, that doesn't mean just the men, but every people, according as he purpose in his heart. You have to give because you want to in your heart. If you do not want to give in your heart, then as Jesus said this morning, as we talked about in Matthew, he doesn't have your whole heart. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. He doesn't have all your heart. If you do not give with your heart, it's in your heart that you want to do it. Now look at the rest of this verse here in verse 8. So let him give. Not grudgingly. You know what that means? Reluctant, unwillingly, resentful, or bitterly. You have to give in your heart because you're happy and you're not upset, you're not mad. Or of necessity. Or of necessity. I'm giving because I have to. Many people sometimes only want to give because of what it says in Malachi. Look at Malachi chapter 3. I don't know if you're familiar with the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. And verse 9. Some people only give to God because of Malachi 3:9. They don't give out of their heart. They're giving grudgingly, and they're giving because they think they have to. Now look at 3:9 in Malachi, right before Matthew. You're cursed with the curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now what's this talking about? Look in verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yeah, ye have robbed me. But ye say, where have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with the curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, and there may be meat in my house, and prove me. Now herewith saith the Lord of hosts, that if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven, and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Some people only give to God so they will get a blessing. They're giving because they want something back. Sometimes that happens at Christmas. You got to see what somebody gave you so you know what you're going to give them. If they gave you a nice gift, well, you're going to give them a nice gift. If they give you something cheap that you think is cheap, well, then you're going to give them something cheap. Some people are like that. Not everybody, but some people are like that. They only give because they think they have to. They're not giving out of the heart. They're giving grudgingly. They're giving bitterly. And they're giving because they think they have to. It's not from the heart. Yes, if you're not giving, yes, there's going to be a curse on your life. Yes, that's true. There's going to be, you bring curse on the whole household. And on your life and everything. If you're not, yes, that's true. But that's not the only reason to give. If you get saved, you won't go to hell. But that's not the only reason to get saved. If the only reason you get saved is so you won't go to hell, then you're not asking Jesus to be the Lord of your life. You're just wanting fire insurance. That's the same thing, folks. If you only get saved because you won't go to hell, well then, and you're only giving so there won't be a curse, then it's not from the heart. And God's not going to bless it. He said, prove me, try me. I'll give you abundant blessings. But just the same, if you don't get saved, you will go to hell. If you don't give, excuse me, if you don't give, there will be a curse on your life and your home and your family. But that can't be the only reason. It's got to be for love. Love of Jesus. Love of Jesus, because you love him with all your heart. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now that we've seen that out of necessity. Because remember now, 2 Corinthians 9:7, for every man according to a purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now we always said God loveth a cheerful giver. Got to look at the rest of it. Now, verse 8, where we started, for God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Grace. Unmerited favor. He's able to make all grace abound. Every time I think of the word abound, I think about a kangaroo bouncing all over the place. Just full, you know. Abound, bound, 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 bound. Just got all this stuff. I don't know why. That just comes to my mind. Abounding towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. What is all sufficiency? What you need. What you need. Sufficiency is not always what we want, but it's what you need. And God the Father knows what you need. Sufficiency, all sufficiency, what you need. If you meet the previous qualifications. See, He came to give you an abundant life. But He also has some promises He wants to give you. If you can handle them. And if you can receive them. Sometimes He won't give them to you because you can't handle them. You can't handle it. You waste it or whatever. In all things, may abound to every good work. Your sufficiency that the grace gives unto you is for service to the Lord. May abound to every good work. God gives you what you need so you can serve Him. He's not going to give you something you don't need, and He's not going to give you something that's not going to help you serve Him. Just to be giving you something. You know, through we go through Christmas. Well, what we ask our children, grandchildren sometimes, make us a list of what you need and what you want. And they make us a list. We didn't do it that this year. Last year they said they needed a Bible and they wanted a doll. The girls. I thought that's good if girls want a doll still. So we gave them two Bibles, one for church and one for school. And we got them a doll. Why? Because we love them. Did they need the doll? No. But it brought them joy and happiness. They didn't ask amiss to consume it on their own lust. God's the same way. But we just won't sit back. Okay, God, what are you going to give me today? What are you going to do for me today, God? I put my money in the offering. What are you going to do, God? Does it work that way? Not out of necessity. It's out of the heart. Abound. All, He is sufficient. Look, God is able to make all grace. He's able. He's able. Abound to every good work. For a reason. For a reason. Let's go to Colossians to talk about another abounding. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Before Thessalonians. Colossians chapter 2. And 7. 2:7 in Colossians. Colossians 2:7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding. So let's go up to verse 6 and get this all in context. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, salvation, so walk ye in Him, rooted, established, got your roots in the good ground, built up in Him, established in the faith, you're sound in the faith, you're rooted, you're built up in Him, as ye have been taught from the Word of God, from your teachers and things, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding in what? That you're established in the faith, that you're saved. Abounding with thanksgiving. A Christian's life should be abounding with thanksgiving. Verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. A Christian's life should be abounding with thanksgiving, not bickering and complaining. Are you saved? Are you glad? Are you happy? Do you know that you're going to go to heaven someday? Do you know that your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you know that someday you're going to see Jesus? You know someday you're going to walk the streets of gold? You know that someday you're going to leave this old body? You know that He's got a great body waiting for you? You know that He lives in your heart? You know that you have salvation? Your soul is sealed in the day of redemption? Do you know all of those things? Well, then that ought to make you happy. Abounding with thanksgiving. Say, Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you for saving me. I don't know why you have all these beans all the time. I want some meat. I don't know. God, thank you for saving me. I don't know why I have to jump start that car every morning. I don't know why you don't give me a battery every day. Whatever, you know. I thank you, I'm saved, Jesus. I don't want to have to go to work every morning. I get tired of working. Oh, that means some people at work, they don't like that. I don't know. That church is too cold. The church is too hot. The people are too close. The people are too far away. The pews are too hard. The pews are too soft. Whatever it is. Thank you, I'm saved, Jesus. I'm glad I'm here. A Christian's life should be abounding. Listen, folks, if it wasn't for Jesus, you'd be on your way to hell. That is a very serious situation. I mean, it brought tears to my eye this morning when I seen that girl touched by Jesus. It brought tears to my eye. See the power of God working. Person's life. Look in 1 Thessalonians. You're in Colossians. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. Abound in love. Look in verse 11. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and that the Lord may make you increase and abound in love one to another, towards all men, even as we do towards you, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. There is no place for hate in a Christian's heart. Now, I'm not saying everybody's nice. I'm not saying everybody's good. But there's no reason for hate in a Christian's life. I was talking to someone today, and I think many times, you know, they had conquered this in their life. But I think many times, we think if we forgive someone for something bad that they've done to us, that we're condoning their action. No. Just because we forgive some doesn't mean we're condoning what they did to us that was wrong. I'm just saying we're not going to hate them and hold it against them. We're going to give it to Jesus and let him take care of it. We're not saying that they did right. I'm not trying to say that somebody didn't do you wrong. But there's no place for hate in a Christian's heart. You want to hate something, hate sin. Not the sinner, but hate sin. You see here at the end of this verse 13, even our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. What will Jesus find you doing when he comes to take you home? Abounding in love one towards another. Even as Christ loved you, even as we love you, Paul's saying here. Before we close, I want us to look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, another abounding, but a little bit different. Things do not always feel good. Things do not always feel good. 11:23 in 2 Corinthians. Well, actually 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. This is Paul. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. You know, as a pun. I am more, in labors more abundantly. In labors more abundantly, in stripes above measure. Stripes on his back. In prisons more frequently, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. They beat him 49 times. For 5 times each. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. At night and in the day have I been in a day and a night have I been in the deep, out in the water. In journeyings, often in perils of water, perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hungry and in thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Verse 28. Besides those things that are without, which come upon me daily, and the care of all the churches. That he's the worries and the things that he has that he's caring for the churches. Who is weak? And am I not weak? Who is offended? And I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern my infirmities. The God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Arthias, the king, kept the city of Damascus, Dominicus, with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Paul was abundant in many things. Beatings, whippings, shipwrecks, being left for dead twice, all kinds of things. He had an abundant life. But you see, God didn't promise you'd always feel good. God didn't promise there wouldn't be pain. God didn't promise there wouldn't be persecution. But he did promise he'd give you all that you need. He did promise he would abound in love. He did promise that he'll give you grace. He did give you everything that you're going to need. And that you can be thanks. And you, Paul wasn't griping or complaining. He was just saying, hey folks, this is what I've been through. Listen. Sometimes the least little thing. There's some of the weirdest, dumbest, silliest excuses people give you for not doing something for God. They're silly excuses. That's all they are. Look at Paul. Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 3. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. Suffering can always be offset by God's love. I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them in whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you that my joy is with the joy of you all. Verse 4, for out of much afflictions and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, but not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know that the love which I have more abundantly unto you. Verse 5, but if any have any curse, I'm in the wrong. Something's not working out here, right? For the suffering. I've got 2 Corinthians 2. The suffering. I messed up here somewhere. I think. Well, I don't know. I got messed up somewhere. Verse 5, but for if any cause grief he hath, not grieve me, but in part I may not be overcharged. Oh yeah, verse 6, okay. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many, so that to contrawise ye ought to rather be forgiven him and comfort him. Perhaps you one should be swallowed up with ultimate sorrows. That is not the right verse. I messed up somewhere. I wrote something down somewhere wrong. I wrote down something wrong somewhere. I don't know what I did. But I had the verse I had was, for as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. I just got the address wrong, where it's at. But when our sufferings abound, he also helps us and brings us through all of this above it. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians chapter 3 and 13. Three 13 in Ephesians. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He wants you to have riches in his glory. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God, the love and filled. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. See verse 20. Is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He has blessings we don't even know about. He has abundances we don't even know about or not aware of. But God wants us to have an abundant life. God wants us to have a full life. But it's just not handed over. He has to trust you with it. You have to give because you love and not to get. And you serve Jesus because you love Him. It's just like salvation. So many people are trying to work their way to heaven by the way they live. No. But the people that are saved by His love, they don't do as much as the people trying to work their way to heaven. Should be the other way around, shouldn't it? Those that really love Him ought to be doing more than anybody. Yesterday, I was not, to be honest with you, I was talking to Albino. It was just about, we had four people, Albino and myself, and then Nick and Epi went out. We was up, you know, knocking doors the other day. And I was not really in the mood. I had too much stuff on my mind and things like that, and tired. I just wasn't in the mood. But God blessed us. God blessed us. I mean, we had more positive calls in those hour and a half or whatever it was than we've had in ages. Ages. And I told him, look at me. Look at me. I'm here. And look at what God's doing. Look at what God's doing. I asked that girl this morning when she got, says, because, you know, she told us, you know, she doesn't normally get up this early. She doesn't get up till 10 o'clock or so. Well, I mean, she's at home. She's got no reason to get up. But the boy woke up, and he was in a good mood, so she decided to let him stay up. And I says, well, the van will be here at 9:30. Well, that's okay. I'll set my alarm. When I asked her this morning, I was asking about her salvation. She says, well, I got up at 5:30 this morning because I didn't want to be late. You know what? That girl was ready. God's been working in her life for a long time. She loves Jesus. She loves Jesus. We ought to do more than those people go around trying to earn their way to heaven, because we love Him. You ought to give more and love more and do more than anybody else, because we have the truth. They have a bunch of nonsense. And every day I run across more nonsense. Foolishness and silliness and weird ideals and stuff that's out there. It's crazy. It's crazy. The only one that makes sense is God's plan, the gospel. You can have an abundant, joyful, all-sufficient, grace-abounding life. And that's what God wants you to have. Let's stand at our feet while we have a time of prayer and invitation. Dear Jesus, we ask that You'll take this time. Dear Jesus, I ask that You'll help us. Dear Jesus, I ask for wisdom, and guidance, and strength. Dear Jesus, I ask that You'll take Your people and Your church here and let them draw close to You. Let them have an abundant week in Your grace.